Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LEGIONPODCAST. I'm Murray, and this week I am an agent of Caught Up, catching all unwanted goodies, having time to unwind pleasantly. My TV screen has been filled with so many shows that I've started and haven't finished, and so I've been finishing them.
Oh, nice.
It's been great. I've been like checking off all the, well, actually it's not my TV screen, it's my computer screen, and I've had like 8 million tabs open because I haven't wanted to lose my episode or the show or have to try to find it again. So I've been slowly closing tabs on my computer as I go. Not that everything's on the computer. Some things are on Netflix, and those are easy to find. And some things are on Prime, and that's easy to find. But, yes, I've been watching all this stuff. I have finished Dead to Me, White Lotus, ooh, Ghosts, Resident Alien, Kids in the Hall, Stargirl. I'm almost done Elite. I'm almost done Rita. I've watched 12 million seasons of The Challenge. There's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's good. Yeah.
When you get into stuff like that, they're like, it's season 42. And it's like, 42?
It's been up 3 years.
Yeah.
I know. Well, they're short seasons and they go quick. But, but yeah, it's been good. So my eyes are like big and bleary and I'm caught up on everything.
Wow.
Well, that's caught up on everything till now. I've still got more things to add to the list. Like Doom Patrol is apparently out, and
yeah, I still have to catch up on season 3 of that one, let alone the new season.
Oh, the new season's out? Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm like, oh crap, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm still on, like, I've only watched 2 episodes of the current season of Stargirl.
Oh yeah, that's
it's a good season.
Oh yeah, it is. And unfortunately it's the last one.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. But it's a good one.
Hey, at least we got 3 seasons.
Exactly. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, the first 2 were good. It just, stuff happens. You're like, okay, I'll have to watch it later. Nope, never mind.
Exactly.
So that is me, TV boy.
Very nice. Well, I am the quack master general of Duckett.
Oh,
don't underestimate comic karma. It's terrific. I've been getting caught up in a lot of reading. And reading all kinds of stuff, getting caught up on some series in the old pile. And, I got myself a copy of the first Who's Who omnibus. And so I've been, kind of going through some of that. And that is a massive book. It is it's another one of those books that requires some
muscle.
You don't want to read it lying down. It'll kill you. It will kill you. And there is more comic karma right there that is less terrific. I've been reading all kinds of stuff. Getting caught up on series. I reread a bunch of the Reckless books from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, and also The Fade Out, which is their sort of 20s Hollywood Blacklist book that is delightful. And and just working through the stack. I'm finally finished all of the Dark Crisis stuff. And I'm trying to understand again what the new multiverse is, but it's really not that different.
Let's just hope you understand it before they bring out a new.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, most of it is actually pretty similar to what they've been talking about in Infinite Mumble Stream, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what that series was.
Infinite Frontier.
That's one. Yes, yeah. Thank you. And so it's like a lot of the stuff that they've been covering in there, and you know, the whole idea of it is that there are many, many more out there. And Wade did a book called Dark Crisis Big Bang, which basically looks at a kind of is like a tour of a bunch of these different multiverses.
I've seen some people on Twitter talking about something, mentioning Wade, and they're showing like clips of like a book, and it looks like it's like it has a list of all the different Earths.
That's the one.
It does.
And it has like not just 52, but has like other ones, like, I mean, it has the Stanley Earth, which I think is like 6 or 7, but it also has like an Earth of like Superman Jr. and Batman Jr. and
exactly. Yeah. Oh, just tons of stuff. And
that I want to get. That I need.
And it is to be fair, I mean, it's not a you know, terrifically large narrative in that book. It is it is literally like a, you know, here's a page of this Earth and here's a page with these three different Earths on it, and that sort of thing. And then there's that, like, I found there was some great artwork in it. Don't get me wrong. But I found the most interesting part of it was that catalog at the end, like just this list of a whole bunch of Earths.
Is it all somewhat similar? Which, oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, all of which they've been dealing with for a while now, and there's a few new additions to it, and then the idea that this is just a current list, and that there are more being discovered every day.
So is it somewhat similar to like the Morrison's Multiversity Guidebook?
Very similar to that. Oh, yes.
Yeah. No, I definitely want.
Yeah.
That.
I know. I'll give Morrison's, like, his went more in depth, but this covers a lot of that territory and just kind of, you know, confirms, denies, whatever, sort of where things sit, and there's some nice artwork to it. Like it's shorter than the Morrison one, from what I remember, though it has been. It has been a stretch, he said as he scans his bookcase.
I know.
Wondering where it is. I think it's out in the garage with all that stuff.
Yeah, that's one I've got, but I can't remember where.
Yeah.
I have that in the floppies. So I think it's in the storage unit right now.
Yeah, I did digital and then the hardcover for that one. So, so it's not that I don't have access to it, but, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, so that's my thing. It's just been you know, getting caught up on reading some funny books.
Hey, nice. Always good.
Well, exactly.
We're all for that here.
Exactly. This is it's just nice to be able to sometimes do it without a microphone in front of me. And
true.
And it is so seldom these days that I do that. So, yeah, nice to have a few days to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, sir? What's going on in the land of the South?
Well, I'm Al, and this week I am an agent of Charles. Charming and hilarious arrests, reoccurring libations ensure success. Because the new year is come and gone. Well, come and started, I should say. It hasn't gone yet. We've still got 364 more days. But I am doing the same thing I just do every year to start my New Year's off. I start rewatching all the Thin Man movies.
Oh.
So I've already watched the first two, and I'm halfway. I had to stop, but I'm going to finish that tonight or tomorrow night, starting three. And the next week or two, I've all six watched. So I've been watching Nick and Nora Charles, Drink a Lot, and occasionally Catch Criminals.
Yeah. In that order.
Well, that is the main concern.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the drinks?
Yes. So
that has been fun to watch. Those are some of my favorite old movies. That's been my New Year's thing for the last, I don't know, dozen years. Ever since we stopped having cable, and I remember they had that as like the Turner Classic or whatever, had that at like a Thin Man marathon on New Year's. So I just started doing my own. Because now I don't have to miss any. I don't have to worry about missing it because I went to sleep. I can just
watch excellent. Perfect.
Although I'm thinking of changing up from the DVDs I have to buying them digitally, just to make it more convenient.
Ooh. Yeah, for sure. I know, I've got DVDs down in the basement, and I'm thinking, do I even have a DVD player anymore?
Exactly, and they don't always seem to work, so it's like, maybe I should buy the digital.
Yeah.
I mean, four of them are on HBO Max, which I have, but with HBO Max the way it is, who knows how long that'll be on there anyway.
Seems like they're purging all the good stuff from the HBO.
And also, like, how, and even if they purge it, who knows if it's going to go somewhere else, I mean, that I can have access to. I mean, there are so many things that aren't there. I just bought on Vudu because they had a sale, Cheers, because they had it for $30. So I'm like, yeah, that's worth it for the entire show. Because that's not really available to watch on streaming anywhere.
And here's the thing, is that you know, like, you know, as the what is it like? You know, like people talk about, oh, physical media, blah blah blah. But man, that stuff disappears all the time.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, that series that I was watching. Like, I remember when I got rid of all my West Wing DVDs because, oh, well, it's streaming on Netflix, and then it wasn't.
Exactly.
Right. And it's like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm in big agreement on keeping the physical media on deck.
But yeah, and bring it back to comics. Yeah. So, I mean, Dick and Nora Charles, I mean, if you like the Elongated Man and Sue Dibney, that's basically where they come from. When they're written best, at least. Is basically they're more or less like Nick and Nora Charles.
100%.
And someone even said on Facebook when I was watching it, they said they should really make them drink more. I'm like, you know what? That could work. I would love to see the Elongated Man on the Justice League Adventure. Like, are you drunk? No. That nose starts hanging off his face.
Yeah, there was some. I mean, there was always some Nick and Nora energy to those two, and you know, sometimes more than others.
Yeah.
I would read a mini book of them or something if they were doing it like that.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I guess they were going to do that as ghosts at some point, but I think they got better.
And it's more fun when they're alive anyway.
Right? <Yeah. laughs> I mean, literally energy. And on every level.
Yeah. Because then you're missing the fun of the interaction with other people. And, you know, I'm sure her family hates him just like they do in the movies.
Right. Yeah.
So that's been me. I've been enjoying that today. That's been fun.
Awesome.
Excellent.
And okay, now going in a completely different direction.
Totally. Yes. Well, I mean, kind of. We were talking multiverse, and this is tangentially related to the multiverse.
Oh, careful. Don't use that word.
That's
the multi-omniverse. The multi-multiverse.
Tangent's a different multiverse. Tangent's a different world.
That's true. That's very, very true. Exactly. We are looking at Lobo the Duck, an amalgam creation.
Yep. This is from the second wave of the amalgam books that came out a year after the initial one.
Uh-huh.
They said, let's do it again.
Yeah.
And you can tell because half of them are just redoing the ones from before.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there's another Super Soldier book. There's another, you know, Spider-Boy book. There's another Magneto book.
Mm-hmm. But they were all fun. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if we needed it every year, but I wouldn't mind seeing them, like, do it, break it out every couple years. But those days seem to be behind us for now.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to, how long it's going to be before we get another DC Marvel crossover of any type.
Could be a while. But,
So the Amalgam Universe is on Earth 692.
Mm. There we go.
692, I wonder how they got that number.
And then was renamed Earth 9602 in the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, which would have been because the first book was cover dated April 1996, which means it came out in February. So it would have been, you know, the second And I guess for some reason, oh no, that was so DC had named it 692, or no, Marvel had named it 692 and then renamed it 9602. Probably because they realized they had transposed the digits. And yeah, so it was an Earth formed out of a merging of the DC Comics New Earth and Marvel Comics Earth 616 universes. And so I'm not sure what they're calling it in. I can't remember what they said they're calling it in the DC ones, but because of course they are doing. It is on the list, and I'll have to look up that that particular book. Yeah. Anyway,
there we go. There were some cool mashups. I liked a lot of them.
Yeah.
But somehow I missed Lobo the Duck the first time it came out. So I am looking forward to diving into it. I was never a big, I think I was too young for Howard the Duck when he was making his first appearances.
Well, yeah, that was 76, early 70s.
Yeah.
Because his book started 76 because, well, he ran for president in the bicentennial.
Yeah.
Of course, like you do.
So, I mean, I was around, but I certainly wasn't reading Howard the Duck. And if I was, it would have gone, like, way over my head. So, and I never went back and checked out any of his stuff. But I know he's got, like, a big historical blah, blah, blah significance and all that stuff.
My first introduction to him was the movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing the books on the stands. But yeah, I never actually read it. And, you know, until many, many years later. And yeah, probably post the movie. Yeah, I do remember, would see it on the stands when I was like, you know, 6 years old, and I was like, but there's superheroes there, so last thing I want to read is this duck.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, because it didn't even, if I was going to read a duck, it would have been like a Donald Duck or an Uncle Scrooge. Like
this, right, yeah, exactly.
This didn't look anything like that.
Yeah, I think back then you really had to have been reading Man Thing already. So you saw like the Howard appearance and then his little backup stories in, well, giant size Man Thing.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, to probably be going like, oh good, Howard the Duck has a series, I want to read this. Because otherwise, unless you saw that first issue of Spider-Man on the cover, you're probably like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I mean, the issues of him in his Iron Duck costume probably made you think it was like, oh, this is like their crazy magazine. I don't need to read this.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But I've gone back and read them, and oh, they're good.
Alrighty.
That recently, in the last year, I read all of the Howard Duck series, the original one by Gerber.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. Just to clarify, this one is currently known as Earth 1996.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, that's what they're that's what they're calling it. And you know, that's from the from that Wade written issue. And so it's from the notes of Barry Allen. Because Barry's the one who's going around cataloging all of these.
Oh, that's right. Because I think in the Flash series, he left. That's why it's the Wally series again, because he left to go do something in the multiverse.
That's right. And that was why, he just kind of disappeared. And so they you know, had to go looking for him and all that good stuff.
And that's another series. I don't know if you've been reading that one, Flash. Ever since they gave it back to Wally, that's been really good.
It has been.
Yeah,
Very good.
Dark Crisis tie-ins, and yeah, good stuff.
It is very good.
The Dr. Fate issue, where you have to turn the book to help them.
Yes.
I haven't seen that. I got to check that out.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent good. of the Animal Man, you know, I can see you thing.
Oh, for sure.
All right. But we're not reading Flash. We're reading Lobo.
That's right.
The duck.
Right. Here we go. Lobo the duck. And we've got a cover by, it's by Val. Is it, I don't know how you say his name. Samix? Whoever the...
Something like that, yeah.
I always said Samix, but maybe I'm thinking of Robert.
Yeah. Who did, wait, didn't he have something to do with the Howard the Duck movie? I don't know.
Let's look that up real quick.
I will look that up. Yeah, you guys continue.
Sure.
Hold on, I have it up here already on IMDb.
No, perfect.
No, director was William Huck. Hayek. Was he a producer?
Alrighty.
No, he's not a producer.
Okay. No, I mean, I guess it's, you know, Leah Thompson's there. So I was like.
so all the Back to the Future guys are going to be there.
Every one of them.
Everyone.
Yes. Michael J. Fox played the Bill, the Duck's Bill.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally. All righty. So we got Lobo the Duck on the cover, who is definitely a little bit Lobo, a little bit Howard. Howard with sort of a Lobo hairdo and his chains and his, I guess Howard the Duck's the one that has the cigar, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yep, so he's got the cigar. Well,
Lobo would have it too.
That's true. They both, well, yeah, that's very true.
And you can see why they put those two characters together, really.
Yeah. They fit. They totally fit.
Yeah. And he's got Lobo's arm.
Yes.
That big ultra muscly arm, which just looks really amusing on the duck.
Yes. Totally. Lobo's arm and Howard's legs. And Lobo is trapped in a world he never fragged. And it looks like it's written by Alan Grant. Art is by Val Simix. Gary Chrissing is on inks, and the rest of the stuff we'll get to as we get to it.
And you know, it's worth noting that, of course, Howard the Duck did get a name check in a Pretenders song as well off their first album.
Yes.
And it looks like it's Simix.
Okay.
Simix.
Excellent.
Yeah. But yeah, in the song Precious, she talks about actually, I think Doctor Strange also gets name checked in there. But she talks about Howard the Duck trapped in a world that he never made. So there you go. Excellent. Sticks in all sorts of places.
Totally. Alrighty, so we open up and we see Howard reaching for it, or sorry, Lobo. reaching for his cigar. And he's like, "Woo, Beverlyne, did the earth move for you too?" And his eyes open up wide, and we get a close up on his face, and he's Fetal's Fragging Feathers. Now, Beverly is Howard's lady friend. I don't know who the.
Yeah, no. So, Beverlyne, and at first I'm like, did they mix Beverly with Wolverine? But Beverlyne is a mix of Beverly Switzler,
yeah,
his girlfriend, and Darlene Spritzer, who is the waitress of the Al's Diner that Lobo goes to a lot in his own ongoing series.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
And I never realized what her last name was, so I'm assuming maybe she was a bit of an influenced by Beverly,
right?
Because I mean, Darlene Spritzer, it's too close.
Yeah.
Alrighty, and we see that Lobo is stuck in New York. Manhattan is in ruins. And he is shocked. Fraggin, wah. Which is how I say Howard's little
absolutely
exclamation. Okay, it's definitely written by Aquatic Al Grant. Webfoot Val Simix is penciler. Ray the Coot Chrissing inker. Francesco Ponzi colorist. Shock Studios separations. Orange Sauce Oakley is letterer. Peter Thiel Tomasi is the associate editor. Bad Duck Raspler is the editor. And Lobo the Duck created by a foul freak of nature. All righty. So this one was produced by the DC side of the side of the team there. And it looks like someone is channeling their Steve Gerber, I think. Flames flicker where once people networked, the rich men's towers are gone, as are the poor men's towers, though these guys were only relatively poor. They were still quite rich. Like, how many towers have you got? And over the grim scene hovers the unmistakable stench of death by roasting. It's all coming back to me. The offending society hired me to help them in their battle against the mystery villain who's destroying the world city by fragging city. And you want to see giant sized bat thing number 69 to get the details on that. But after we defeated Green Skull and Thanoside, we discovered they were only pawns in the plot. We hurried back to our Manhattan headquarters, only to be consumed by a monstrous fireball. Origin Mysteriogo. Mysterioso or Mysterio?
Mysterioso, yeah.
Mysterioso. So we got lots of little... lots of little amalgams there. Green Skull, Thanoside. That's a great name, actually. Thanoside?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, some of the names were better than others. Some of the names were just like, oh, please, you're just straight. Yeah, like, yeah. You're trying to, like, was it from one of the other X-type books, Shatter Starfire.
Uh-huh. It's a mouthful, but it's fun. Alrighty, so Lobo sees a helmet, a green helmet, and says, Doc Strange Fate, because it looks like Doctor Strange Fate has been disposed of.
Yeah, it does not look good for Doctor Strange Fate.
No.
Who, of course, had his own amalgam title.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in the first run.
Yep. Your spirit can come back now, Doc. The danger's over. Doc, and he's looking inside the helmet, but there's nothing there. He's dead, burned to a crisp. And the others, Skulk, Vicky Valkyrie, and Hawk Hawk. Egg juice is cooked too. Yuck, yuck, serves the goody goody bastiches right. I never liked him anyway. Still, they did pay me up front to track down this ultimate supreme bastich baddo. And Lobo's a duck of his word. Better get on with it then. Then maybe I'll get to go home. And there are just corpses and heads lying on the ground, groaning and stuff. And Lobo speaks to one of the victims there. Any idea who did this to you, pal? Kidly. And there's like a little pop in the background, and it looks like...
Well, if you look two panels up, you'll see a green figure.
Oh, yes. There's lots of popping going on there. Okay, so...
That is the impossible... That is the impossible dog, which is a mix of Lobo's dog and the impossible man.
Perfect. So it starts off as like a green and purple dog mix, and then it becomes like a crypto sort of. Don't look like I can call on no other heroes for help, neither. The flash effect has burned their images onto the wall and turned them to dust. Not only that, my fragging impossible dog is changing into characters that don't even exist in this universe.
Oh, so kind of like the Impossible Man?
Yeah. Manhattan trashed, the hero's dead, the impossible dog violating the very laws of continuity. And once again, the fate of our fragile planet Earth rests on the stringy shoulders of a psychotic duck. What am I going to do? And we see, like, there's a Superman crashed on the ground. And he's picking up a timepiece, which is his?
Maybe? It has a skull, so probably.
Probably. Yeah. Guess the diner's open. I could sure use a beer. Alrighty, so... The impossible dog pops into like a Wolverine dog image there. But he's, even as our hero sets off, cold eyes watch him from the charred shadows. The duck still lives, no matter. And these guys look like gangsters crossed with Skrulls, crossed with
like a Frankenstein monster. And I don't know what the monster. Middle guy is. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I get the names, I'm not sure which one to look for.
We'll figure it out as we go, yeah. The Skrull gangster guy goes, though our master, Dr. Bongface, is imprisoned in a spanglite cage on the moon, the destruction of Manhattan will paradoxically give him the power to break free. See issue number 35, Lobo the Duck magazine.
And for anyone who's not reading this, just so you know, that is a mixture of Dr. Bong and the Scarface or the Ventriloquist from Batman.
Right, yes. Which was, of course, an Alan Grant creation.
Oh, that's true. That's right. That's I forgot right. He's a new one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or newer, I guess. I mean, it's been, what, 40 years?
So the Skrull says, and then tremble, O universe. Also tremble, O duck. Because the doc's got a score to settle with you. And why does he need the bodies of dead superheroes? Hey, I'm a simple henchman, not no criminal genius. So they are collecting bodies, I guess. And we check in on Lobo, who's gone to Al Forbush's subterranean diner.
So there's our Al thing, plus... was it Irving Forbush?
Yeah, it's actually a mixture. It says it's a mixture of three characters. It's Ma Hunkle, Blind Al, and from Marvel, Blind Al, Deadpool Psychic, and Forbush Man.
Okay. Irving Forbush.
Yeah. Smart move going underground, Al. And we can see Al, who definitely does look like Ma Hunkle there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the sixth time you destroyed my premises, I figured I'd better wise up. City's half gone, I hear, but we're safe and sassy down here. Got a couple of six-packs and a supervillain directory. And then in pops Ambush the Lunatic, which is a cross of Ambush Bug and... I'm not sure who the Marvel character is.
Actually, if you knew who it was, it's very simple. It's a character named Lunatic.
Lunatic, there we go.
Okay.
I forget who he is. I don't think I've ever read anything with him.
He's kind of a little bit like a cross with Trencher, too.
Oh. Totally, yes.
Okay, Lunatic. Wow, Lunatic's way older than I thought. First appearance, Defenders number 51.
Oh, wow.
Created by...
Keith Giffen. Yeah.
Oh...
That makes sense, because that's his
perfect cross then, yeah. Alrighty, so Lobo the Duck, huh? Meet Ambush the Lunatic. I hear you're after the same ultimate supreme unknown villain I am. So what, Mallard Breath? And Ambush the Lunatic is big and hulking muscles, wearing a trench coat, and he's got ladies hanging off his arms, wearing bikinis and... Madonna bustiers.
Oh, yeah, the cone outfits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, real quick, this is amusing. So I'm looking at I saw the thing on Lunatic. It says, Keith Giffen stated, Lunatic was a character I came up with in high school. When I went radically wrong, I went to DC and took the basic concept of Lunatic and split it into two characters. Lobo had his mercilessness. Ambush Bug had his goofiness.
Right on.
So that's actually pretty good. They're actually bringing him back to the character. He's one of the characters he sort of came from.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Ambush the Lunatic says, "So don't get in my way, boy. Want to see how he treats Fowl where I come from?" And he's holding like a Daffy Duck,
yeah,
doll or something by the neck, by the necktie. First we shoot some, then we pluck some, and then we eat some. Avert those cutesy eyes, cutesy pies. Danged if I don't feel a certain murkish violence coming on. And Lobo does like a little back punch and takes out Ambush Bug. Tries to. Want to know how we treat chumps where I come from, Looney? First, we mollificates them till they're dazed. Then we stomps them till they're tender. Then we adds a splotch of ketchup. And you can guess the rest, right? As he starts chomping away on Ambush Lunatic's arm. Crunch, munch, gulp, swallow, burp. So, how'd you like them onions, huh? And Ambush Lunatic's little girlies are like, "Oh, you're so tough. Let me feel your feathers." "Pardon me, but aren't you supposed to be saving the world?" says Al Forbush. "Later, guy. Ruffle it like you mean it, babe." Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
All righty. We do a little crosstown switch to the high-tech gravity labs of New York City, which has been blown up. But there are still people there, you know? You readers out there don't realize how lucky you are. Like, you have the right to pursue liberty and happiness, to live in three-dimensional solidity, and to expect simple day-to-day continuity. But take me and Ron here. We work in the labs, but we're no scientists, so we don't get any special character treatment. We're just working-class stiffs created on a whim. Patsies who'll be rubbed out after a few brief panels of life just to emphasize how bad the bad guys are. And this is when the bad guys come crashing through the wall with a zappity blang. What'd I tell you? And they kind of look like a cross between maybe AIM and I don't know what.
The Hive or?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't see them listed, so God knows. Yeah.
Our leader requires this gravity machine. How do we operate it? I don't know. I swear. Please, don't shoot. I might have a wife and kids. Well, not anymore, because he gets zapped.
Yeah.
So long, Ron.
Of course, you realize this means war.
Do your worst. You'll get nothing from me. You'll kill me, whatever I say. It's the only reason I exist. Bring him. Our glorious leader has ways of making him talk. And the dead guy says, "Well, I never. It's okay. You can turn the page. Forget about me. Maybe one day you'll remember me. Born to die. Bleeding to death on a hostile world." And then we flip the page.
Well, he said to.
Yep. We are back at, I think, Al's Forbush place there.
Yeah.
And a lovely little lady comes strolling into the bar. "Sorry I'm late, Al, but I had to help an old lady look for her intestines after she was eviscerated by a wild dog spooked by the fires and..." What? And we see the impossible dog pop in a little Spider-Man costume. And then the lady who is speaking says, "Lobo? Yo, Beverline, still the sweetest buns in Soho. Join us, babe. The main duck's got quack enough for three." And she is like, but you told me you loved me. You swore you'd always stay true. You said you wanted me to have your ducklings." And to get the backstory, you want to see Giant Size Bat Thing number 6. I did. Beg your pardon, Bev, but I ain't functioning too good this morning. I think somebody blowed me up. Guess the amnesia's worse than I thought. And she, I think she slugs him with a beer bottle or something right across the head.
I mean, he's got it coming.
Oh, totally. It's your horny glands that are worse than I thought. You Lothario, you spack. But I can explain. Save it for your hussies, mister, as she starts doing karate chops and leg kicks and throwing Lobo all over the place. Get out of here and don't ever come back. I hate you, you feckless duck. I hate you, with tears strolling down her face there. Poor thing. She's almost got like, I was going to say like a Starfire. You know that Starfire number two?
The Sword and Sorcery character? This costume, what she's wearing looks very much like she wears in when she first appears in Howard the Duck number one, when she's held captive by Pro Rata, the cosmic accountant. And they kind of made her look like a extra from like a Conan magazine or something.
Yeah.
Gotcha, well.
I mean, I don't know about the other ones. It's been a while since I read them, the other Magnum books, but I have to say, they're really going, I mean, they did their research here on these things.
For sure.
Or they're having a lot of, or just, you know, a lot of coincidental luck.
The good ones are really well done, for sure.
Yeah. All righty. Oh, excuse me. All right. So, Lobo is off wandering through the streets. Dames, who could ever figure him? I mean, the feathered ones is bad enough, but give them a voice and shave their fur. Guess I'll sort it out later when she calms down. Meantime, I ought to be getting back to work. See what the supervillain directory's got to say about Kid Lee. Kid Armput, Kid Around, Kid Stuff, the Waco Kid, the Wacky Kid, Kid Knee, Buck Naked, Kid a Kidder, Kid Calamity, Kid You Not, Kid Zarus, Kid, I'm missing that one.
Kids are us.
Oh, okay, I get that one.
But no Kid Lee.
I mean, I got Waco Kid, but.
Slap leather, you mangy duck-ass bastard. He says, huh? And we come across Jonas Turnip, Gamarola, and Billy the Millie.
So Jonas Turnip is a mix of Jonas Glim, who's like kind of like a bounty hunter frenemy of Lobo's, and the Space Turnip, who Howard's dealt with in his like second issue.
Okay.
Gamarola is Princess Xiao Lao, who is another mercenary Lobo's dealt with in his series, and Gamora.
Yeah.
From Adam Warlock stories. And Billy the Millie is Billy the Girl, who was another one of the many mercenaries, because whenever they introduce mercenaries in the Lobo series, half of them get killed anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And Millie the Model.
Oh, of course. Yeah. If I were to want to learn a bit more about Gamora, Al, where could I go to learn such things?
I would suggest checking out my other show, Resurrections, and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast.
Nice.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. All righty. So Billy the Millie says, "It's great to see you again, Duckbo. I thought you guys were captured and creamed by Doc Bongface when he had control of the crystal rod of Stewart. That is." That's too funny. That is Doom. And you want to see the Savage Sword of Lobo the Duck number 52, 255.
Wow, that's.
It was a multi-issue epic
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we was. But we escaped with the help of a demigod. See Bong Hunter special number one. And now we're spoiling for a fight. See, I discovered who's behind all of this. Everything bad that's happened since you first set foot on Earth. I know who's destroying the cities. Who intends to destroy the world, the universe. Who? Tell me, Jonas. It's... And just before he can say, he gets an arrow through his schnoz, his chin, as he gets his lips sealed. Your lips are sealed, and so is your fate. Yes, it is me, Daryl. Daryl Rutabaga, your brother. He punches him in the face just to be on the good side. Yep.
Yeah.
Who is a mix of the same two characters, Jonas Glynn and the space turnip.
Okay, fair.
I planted a bug on you while your spacecraft was laid up in the nether place, way back in the unsettling Lobo the Dark number one. I've monitored your every move since then, waiting for the day you would return to meet your death at my hands. The hands of the man you betrayed to the law. Shouldn't we stop them? Says, Gamora. Yeah. Never get between kin, babe. And the impossible duck is continuing to, or the impossible dog is continuing to, I don't know what that is.
Some sort of demented frog.
That yeah. I think that's Man-Frog from like one of the early Howard the Duck stories from Backups on the Man-Thing series.
Gotcha.
Oh man, that's wild.
Like I said, they reread the Howard
the Duck. These are deep cuts for sure.
Totally. Did he tell you who the villain was? Nope. Jonas plays close to his chest. Well, unless you're in a hurry, how about we go play a game of sardines? And he gives them like a leer. While the brothers are pounding each other. And then we get Beverlyne coming back. Sob, oh Lobo, oh Jonas, I drove Lobo away and now I'm half crazy with worry. What if he does something foolish? Have you seen him? And they both kind of point in the middle of their battle. Thank you. And she runs off just in time to find Lobo in the smooches of both of them.
Oh,
you
no.
Rotten womanizing swine. I was going to forgive you, but you've the morals of a snail. And she swats him again. As we see like little lipstick marks all over his body.
Yeah, he's a foul little fella.
He is a foul. Totally. Sorry, love, says Billy the Millie. He's just so darn cute as Beverlyne continues to whack on Howard or Lobo there. Sheesh, this is friggin' ridiculous. And the dog has turned into a specter, I think. I think that's the specter.
Yes, totally.
Yes, oh my God.
Somehow, I know the key to this whole shebang is locked up in my own head.
The spirit of vengeance, I might note.
That's true. That's the perfect spot for him too. This whole shebang is locked up in my own head. Maybe I didn't lose my memory. Maybe they put an amnesia block on me. They did see giant-sized bat thing number 3. How would I know if I can't remember? And he's walking past a window and sees his reflection. Remember, you no good bastich. Remember, I'll punch you into pulp. Then strain you through a sieve. You'll never eat eggs in this town again. You're one dead duck. And his reflection finally says, okay, I'll talk.
Ooh.
And we are bouncing back to the, it was the lab. It's someplace different now. All rise in the presence of the splendor and majesty of Gold Kidney Lady, who is...
Gold Star, not Booster Gold's sister, but a Lobo character named Gold Star, who's kind of like a superhero like parody of like Superman or something, like Ultra Boy Scout.
Right.
And the Kidney Lady, who was basically just some paranoid woman in the Howard the Duck series who kept yelling and screaming at him in the streets of Cleveland, saying that he wanted to take her kidneys.
Wow.
Alrighty. Well, she is standing on a giant dais of letters and numbers. And her henchlings are all, Gold Kidney Lady, lead us in purges, teach us to cleanse, Gold Kidney. And she says, all evil in the universe can be infallibly traced back to improperly functioning kidneys. For is it not written, filter not the impurities, and ye shall suffer, yea, even unto the 7th generation. My kidnoids. Okay, there we go. Fate has chosen us to cleanse the kidneys of the world. of the galaxy itself. We will purge them, filter them, sweep the dirt away around the hidden bend. Let the final purification begin as I start the graviton in autometer.
Graviton in autometer. Nice.
Totally. That will herald the end for this filthy, filthy planet. And Lobo the Duck appears on his hog. It ends here, Gold Kidney Lady. Lobo the Duck. It wasn't Kid Lee, the guy with the speech impediment, was trying to tell me. It was Kidney. You. You'll never prevail while the main duck's been paid a bunch of bucks to stop ya. I'll kill you myself. Only the exertion's bad for my kidneys. Slay him, my kidnoid minions. Alrighty. Let's party, you refugees from an organ transplant, as he starts shooting away at them.
I love how the hog is basically shaped like a giant duck bill.
Yeah. Yep, giant feathers out back, totally.
It looks like something out of Duck Dodgers or something.
Yeah,
totally.
And he's pounding on them with his chains. Duck, you stupid bastards. And Kidney Lady is running around. Too much planning has gone into this for me to fail now. The Earth's impurities must be flushed, and only I can do it. No go, Joe. He throws his chain and smacks her in the head. And while she's wobbling about, she says, I'm not finished yet. You will be, as he starts shooting her full of bullet holes, when I'm finished with you. Quacka, 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 quacka. Yeehaw, world, consider yourself saved, as the impossible dog transforms into Galactus in the background there. And Lady Kidney kind of falls over right next to a lever, which her elbow happens to knock as she falls down dead. Then again, says Lobo the Duck. The graviton in autometers, potent rays arc through space, instantly creating a negative force shield around the stadium. Irresistibly attracted by the collapsed gravity units, the moon itself, yes, Luna, whose beams have lit the threatening night since man had sex in caves, careens earthward at impossible speed and total murkish oblivion. And Howard the Duck's is just, wah! Next issue, are you ready for the God thing? You better be, because Earth might not survive without him. Be here in 34. Don't tell Mom the bounty hunter's dead.
Oh, man.
To be continued. Boom, boom, boom.
Nice.
Yes.
I notice there's a letters column.
There is. And
a lot of them have letters columns, I remember.
That's awesome.
It's lovely. We got a letter from Olav Sperling.
Mm-hmm.
Charles J. Beamer. Olaf Brown, Alan Gerber, Roger Giffen, Keith Slifer.
Yeah, so a lot of for Peter those Grant, who aren't catching, for all those not catching the joke, is this is mixing together a lot of the names. So Alan Gerber, of course, that would be a cross between Steve Gerber and Alan Grant.
Yeah.
Well, the Sperling, you got to have a Sperling, I think, by law. In a 90s letter column, there has to be a Sperling. Roger Giffen. So that's Roger Slifer and Keith Giffen. And then, of course, Keith Slifer is the opposite version.
I
don't know. Now, I'm just always wondering, did the writer, when they do this, did the writer do the editor notes, or is that for the editor to actually do? And they're just like, okay, writer, just write whatever the hell you want. I'll figure out where it happened.
Well, you know,
who got the fun of doing that? That's what I like. Who got the fun of making up that, you know, the series?
Yeah, because I love that we got so many issues of Giant Size Bat Thing, and ranging from issue 3 all the way up to issue 69. I might add.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
just going with that giant sized man thing joke all the way.
Totally.
That's right. Take it as far as you can.
Exactly. And yes, this month's covered by some Semix and Dell. Whoa! Oh man. Yeah. No, this was fun.
Oh god, yeah.
It was.
I mean, it would have been kind of cool if they could have put some Legion characters in there since the Lobo, but makes sense. The Lobo still has ongoing series at this point, so.
Absolutely, yeah. Duck You, Sucker. That was the name of a Sergio Leone movie made many years ago. I think it fits for this title. How about naming the letter column Duck You, Sucker, and giving me lots of free stuff? I know some people who win cool stuff when they name a letter column. I think my time is here. Money would be good, or a trip to New York with tickets for the Jay Letterman show. A suite at the Plaza would also be nice. My wife always wanted to see New York in style. Oh, and a shopping spree at FAO Schwartz and a $100,000 gift certificate to the Fox Bros store on Fifth Avenue would also be great. Heard they sell animation cells. Also, I figure I'd just be deserving of some original artwork. I'd like to get the original art boards for at least 10 complete books. I'd hate to get single pages and not have the entire story. Now, about that black and white advance copy you sent. Wow, what are they going to make in that action figure of Lobo the Duck? It'd rule. And can you imagine the cool dog that kind of pops in and out of the scenes? You could have different little costumes to put on the dog. And I like the Galactiac. Oh, I guess Galactus and Brainiac helmet the best. And make sure that little Lobo the Duck figure talks. Have it go, whoa! I'd definitely buy it. Unless, of course, you can throw that into the free stack of stuff I'll be getting when you announce my win. My winning of the letter column contest. Peter Grant, Montauk, New York. Oh, man. Dear Lobo the Duck, it's about time that the hunted became the hunters. Blessed are the vegetarians, for they shall eat the earth. Or something like that. Roger Giffen, Jerkwater, Michigan.
Dear editor, hey, thanks for sending me that early copy of Lobo the Duck. I can't stop reading it. It's great. I have one favor to ask, though. Could you send someone over to my apartment? My legs and butt have gone numb from sitting on the toilet for so long. That's the last time I read a comic in the bathroom again, let me tell you. Charles J. Beamer, Dobbs Ferry, New York.
Yes. Man. So Charles J. There was like a Charles J. Sperling, right? But also a Charles J. Brown. Charles Brown.
I think
there was definitely an Olav Beamer.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely an Olav Beamer and Charles J. Sperling for sure.
Mm-hmm. It might have been a Charles Brown. I can't remember. Oh. That's all right.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun. This was fun.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
This was definitely one not to miss.
Yeah, you can tell the creative team. Yeah, the creative teams were totally like digging into it. The ones that really wanted to have fun with it totally did.
Yeah. Now, was Semix on the... He was on a Demon series at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, with Alan Grant.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or at least the earlier issues. Right. He had done the earlier issues, because afterwards it was a McCray, Ennison McCray.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's where we got Hitman. Oh. But yeah, he did do that Demon series with Alan Grant. And yeah, it makes sense from other things that Alan Grant has written that he would... If there was a series he like would be into, it would be the Howard the Duck series.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, clearly it's a good fit for him. And I mean, he was always. I mean, you look at all the stuff he did in Lobo, and you know, he was all about sort of a satirical look at a cosmic. Place and. Yeah,
he was definitely trying to be Giffen, or at least, well, not Giffen. Sorry, he was definitely trying to be a Gerber type writer.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that it would have those sort of things that, like, you know, Giffen would kind of make his cosmic universe goofy, and Grant would add a little bit of grit to it and make it, you know, darkly satirical, but also with some pretty goofy humor at times too.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. All righty. Good choice. Well, there we go. Al, good choice.
Indeed.
Oh, it said Lobo, so I'd at least check it out. And I was like, oh, yeah, that one.
Totally. All righty. Well, that is it for us this week.
Yes. Yeah, send us your wacky amalgams to legionofsubstitutepodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, talk about them on the Facebook group. Head over to the website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and post them on this or any episode, but preferably this one. It just seems a good idea to keep them all in the same place.
Totally.
Yeah. You betcha. Or comment when the episode is posted on Twitter. It's going to be on definitely on mine, at Adam Thanos Pod.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right on. Okay. Well, that is it for us, guys. We will see you all next W-E-E-K.
W-A-U-U-G-H-H.
C-H-A-K-A, C-H-A-B-W-I-N-O, C-H-A-T-S-O-P-A-N-O.
Not even going to try. I stopped like partway through. I just kind of got to let them wash.
Just roll with it.
Exactly.
Roll with it.